That's all right.
I just figured everybody's still coming in.
Oh, I better get the bass muted.
Stand up. Our first song for today is Holy is the Lord. Our second song for today is Blessed Be Your Name. Everyone at the front will have to sing extra loud because there's not many of you.
Ship's very heavy at the back.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out on, come back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give it, take away. You give it, take away. My heart you choose to say.
A nice one to do. Our last one for today is Oceans. Change books.
Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail, and you won't stop now. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the
Great job, everyone. You can all take a seat.
Right. Well, good morning, folks. Nice to have everybody here this morning. I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but I am wearing my autumn colours this morning. And that's because it's the last day of autumn, isn't it? May 31st. We move tomorrow into June, the first day of winter. And I thought it was rather well-timed, actually, because in this Deuteronomy chapter 31 on May 31st, there is actually a mention of some of the autumn feasts, which I thought was very interesting. So it's all kind of nicely fitting in together already, and we haven't even started yet. So it's, we'll just have to see whether we can continue in that sort of unity as we move through this morning's study. And it is a bit more of a study because we're kind of wrapping up the book of Deuteronomy. I know I was looking back, we actually started this in 2024, Deuteronomy. So if you've had a little bit too much or enough of Deuteronomy, you could be excused. Though we have broken it up a fair bit in the middle with things like events like Easter and Christmas and other things if we've needed a bit of a break. But we haven't got many to go. There's, 34 chapters in Deuteronomy? And the last one doesn't really count because it's only about 10 verses anyway. We're about to get into Moses' song, not today, but next time, because that's in 32. This is sort of the lead up to that. We had a bit of a look through it, Paul and I did, in Moses' song, and we decided that it wasn't exactly a very tuneful type song, or certainly something not like we're used to singing in our modern era, or even any era that I know of. So we'll see how he goes with that, but that's okay because I don't have to do that one. So I am going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 today. And it is, of course, from the book of Deuteronomy, which Moses wrote at the end of his life as sort of almost like a sign-off, I guess you could say, or a summary of everything, where they'd been, all of that sort of stuff. But I'm getting a bit ahead of myself because realistically, it's nice to start this morning or every service with the Lord's Prayer. And so I'll ask you to bow your heads and I'll repeat that first from Luke chapter 11. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So, we may have seen this slide once or twice before. Probably not a lot of new information on there. No need to yawn. It's okay. We won't spend too much time on it this morning since it's the usual crowd here. But the only thing to say, really, I think, is that where we are, we're in the future. We're at the very end of the book. Moses is doing a lot of, talking about the future, what's in store for Israel. It's not exactly the most exciting reading because, of course, we know from looking at the history of Israel that their story was not a very encouraging one, except in the fact that you might say that it was encouraging because God is ever merciful and long-suffering and patient. And certainly that is evident throughout the story of Israel as they time and time again questioned him, let him down, turned aside from him, provoked him, did all of those terrible things that we know that, is what we know is most of the Old Testament pretty well. And today's really no different. We have a bit of a handover, first of all, from Moses to Joshua. So we'll read that account. And then it goes on to talk about the establishment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which we'll talk about as well. And then, of course, it begins in verse 16 to talk about what's going to happen to the future Israel, what they're going to do. I don't want you to read too much of that. I'm going to skip rather before don't want to give it all away. And then, of course, it finishes with, in verse 30 there, and Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended, and then he begins the song in chapter 32. So let's get started this morning on our study, because it is a bit more of a study, and then we'll have a song, and then we'll have a look at some of the feasts, I think, that are to do with the autumn feasts that were tied up, and particularly why it is potentially that there is no equivalent yet in the Christian calendar for these feasts. Bit of a giveaway there. Okay. All right, let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. So he wrote it on his birthday. Well, whatever day it was, he was 120 years old that day. I can no more go out and come in. Now, that's a kind of a way of saying, I can't go out and lead you into battle and those sorts of things as I used to. You'll notice that particularly in the book of Samuel and throughout the Kings as well, it talks about the kings and they would go out and they would come back in. Basically, it was they would go out to battle and come back victorious type of thing. Moses is recognizing that he can no longer do that. He's 120 years old, which is not that old really, is it, Grandma? One amazing miracle that happened for Moses was that his eyesight was as good as it was when he was 20. Probably won't say 40 because we all begin to see a few of these things slip. His personal force, as it was described, or his actual strength, was the same as well. He was able to. He maintained his physical, strength right through in every aspect, right through until the day of his death, which was pretty amazing. Doesn't say that in this chapter, but we know that from others. All right, keeping going in verse 2. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. You remember that God actually said because of Moses' conduct at the waters of Meribah, where he struck the rock and basically put himself on the same level as God, saying, and instead of interceding for the people, became their judge, I guess you could say. And that was not the right thing to do. From that point on, God said, you're not actually going to make it into the promised land. Even though Moses asked several times, God was fairly stern about that. Verse 3, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. It must have been some battle, the Sihon over Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, because it's referred to time and time again in the Psalms and throughout all of the books of the actual Torah, I guess you could say, or the Pentateuch. And it's pretty amazing that I think we had a look at how tall Og was, and that he was him and his people were giants. So Anyway, Moses is reminding them of that great battle that happened many years before. Verse 5. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now this is obvious, this is interesting to see how many times this is repeated in this handover to Joshua. And obviously Joshua got it because he quoted it again in Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That was almost like his anthem, really, was it? And you can see where it came from. So Moses then writes a law. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in this place, which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Now this is an interesting thing. So obviously we have the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Tabernacles was really put in place so that they could remember their time in the wilderness. It was just as they actually lived in tents, people were actually to go out and make, they called them booths, but they were like tents, basically. They were constructions. It's probably a bit of a small picture up the top. But anyway, it was basically temporary housing type of thing, I guess you could say. And they had to do that for a week. And they had to, so that they would remember how it was, how God kept them as they traveled through the wilderness. Interestingly here, he says at the end of every 7 years, not only are you supposed to do that, but you're also supposed to hear all the laws read out as well. And it's interesting, this was something that they had to do as long as they lived in the land of Canaan, basically in the land of Israel. So it's kind of almost like there is a little bit of an end date to that sort of thing. Once they're scattered throughout the whole world, maybe that was not as relevant. And we'll have a talk about that a bit later. I did think this was interesting. So there's quite a few feasts that the Jews actually celebrate through the year. But what is interesting is that 4 of the 10 feasts actually all happen in the time of autumn, or the Northern Hemisphere autumn. So you'll notice there, September to October. Actually, it's even 5 by the looks of it. And the reason is because you've been through spring, you've been through summer, you've been through the harvest in autumn. It's a time when you've kind of in that interim period between preparing for or celebrating the harvest that you've been able to get from the land, and then also move into that preparation for winter time as well. And we're going to have a quick look at 4 of those feasts a little bit later on. Let's keep going in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in the pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of a cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. So this was almost like a way of settling a bit of a dispute over who was going to lead the nation of Israel after Moses died. You can imagine that there probably would have been a few people in the tribes, I guess you could say, leaders and things like that, who would have had ambitions to step in and fill Moses' shoes. But we can see here that God appointed Joshua. Actually, interestingly, Joshua or Yeshua is actually the Hebrew version of the name Jesus. And I thought that was rather significant because Joshua is the one, of course, that are leading the people into the land, into the promised land. Jesus is our guide to lead us into the future promised land of his kingdom. Bit of a side note there. But this is the stamp of God. This is God's appointment of Joshua. But it gets a little bit worse after this. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake them and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. It must be very interesting having the sort of omniscience and omnipresence of God, because it's almost like he deals with you in the present, but he knows what's going to happen in the future. But he's not angry with them right now, even though he knows that in a couple of years' time, they're going to completely, well, not even a couple of years, even not long after this, they're going to abandon him again. He waits until that moment and then he deals with it or disciplines it at that moment. I think that's a very interesting thing, how you could be happy when you know, or you know, have any sort of joy even when you know all the terrible things that these people are going to do. And yet, well, I guess he is God and he knows all of these things. Now there's an instruction. Now there's I think one of the interesting things that with songs is that, I don't know whether you guys did it at school, but if you had to remember something, sometimes you'd put it to music, you know, whether it was Kumbaya, Utupaya, you know, that sort of thing. Hey, Chelly Beb Kanoff, Needham Gal, Sips Clarka. That's not really a song, is it? But that's all of the first 20 periodic elements of the table. I know that one. Anyway, it helps, right? And I think that a little bit of this has been put in place for the children of Israel as well. I'm not sure how you would sing 360, whatever it is, one or three laws into a song. You'd probably be there all day. But Moses was instructed to write a song of some sorts anyway. I'll leave that to Paul to show us what that's all about anyway. Maybe he'll sing it for us. That'd be exciting. Now, therefore, write ye... they actually sound the trumpet to announce the beginning of the feast season. They actually have two rams that are recall, as I say, really the autumn period was the end, I guess, of what was kind of, it was the beginning of something new, because that was the beginning of the year, but it was also the end of all their hearts, all their labors coming to an end in that. Now, as we know from which is just a little bit of 4:16, that we know that the Lord sent the angel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You know, and there's other verses which talk about the last trump. We know that the trumpet should sound, as it says. I thought that was interesting because we know that when that period happens, the end times are going to start unfolding. And I think it's significant also that the feast of trumpets with that sounding of trumpet. But it also So there is sacrifice. I guess, or when we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then we know that we will actually be living within that dwelling, which is the Spirit of God. So I thought that was a very interesting sort of thing. That we set up, that we have confidence in, that sort of thing, something which is 100% dependent on God. And we understand that that's the heart of God. restores his people. And in that way, have the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's also something which would fit within. We've done study of Revelation. We know the sorts of events that do happen throughout that time period. And perhaps we'll see a lot of these feasts that the Israelites kept actually come to fruition. The shadows of the So that's really all I wanted to talk about this morning. And so I thought it would be good to finish with a song. All right, have a great week. I'll see you again.